Hello, fellow foodies. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you're listening to the Foodie Pharmacology Podcast. I don't know about you, but I am simply fascinated with plants. And I'm especially fascinated by those species that cross the line between food and medicine. When I look at a plant ingredient, I always ask myself, is this a food? Is it a medicine? Or could it be both? How can I create the healthiest meal out of this ingredient for my family? So today I'm going to explore one of my favorite kitchen herbs that I also happen to have growing in my backyard. So join me on this exploration of the interesting pharmacological properties of our next tasty culinary ingredient. In our seventh episode on the show, we're going to investigate an incredible Mediterranean herb that can be found growing in the wild or even in a home garden. Young branches of this herb are often thrown into dishes with meat roast or fish to confer an incredibly fragrant aroma. In some dishes, its small leaves might be stripped and added to spice mixes, either whole or in ground-up form. But beyond its food use, you may also encounter this fragrant herb in essential oil massage blends, or shampoo scents, or even room deodorizer sprays. When it's rubbed into the scalp, shampoos rich in the essential oils of this plant elicit a delightful tingling sensation at the hair follicles. Beyond that, you may have also heard about its legendary links to memory promotion. Have you guessed which herb we're going to talk about in today's show? If you guessed rosemary, you'd be right. The works of Shakespeare are loaded with plant references and lore, and rosemary is no exception. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, Act 4, Scene 5, Ophelia famously says, "There's rosemary. That's for remembrance. Pray, love, remember." The allusion to the memory-boosting effects of rosemary also appear in Winter's Tale, Act 4, Scene 4, when Perdita tells Camillo, "For you there's rosemary and rue. These keep seeming and savor all the winter long. Grace and remembrance be to you both." Though it's not clear where the association between rosemary and memory originates, we do know that this link dates back at least as far back as ancient Greece, where it was used to avoid forgetfulness and was trendy for students to wear rosemary sprigs in their hair or around their necks as garlands to promote memorization of material when they studied. This association between memory and rosemary was also noted in ancient Arabia. Rosemary has also been associated with love and marriage, as well as birth and death in many cultures across the Mediterranean. In ancient Egypt, dating back to 5000 BC, during the first Pharaonic dynasty, sprigs of rosemary were placed on the tombs of the pharaohs to perfume their trip to the afterlife. In ancient Greece, rosemary was burned in the temples in rituals dedicated to the goddess of love, Aphrodite. The Greeks and Romans believed that rosemary had both mystical and healing powers that could protect them from evil spirits. When the Roman Empire extended north to Britain, they brought rosemary with them, establishing the plant across Europe. As a hardy plant that is easy to cultivate, today you can find rosemary growing in its native homeland of the Mediterranean, but also spread throughout Europe and even globally as a cultivated culinary herb. Due to its tolerance for drought, it is also commonly used in xeriscape landscape design, as it doesn't require the addition of irrigation water. It can also grow quite large and can be used to create specially shaped hedges and topiaries in decorative garden design. As a medical ethnobotanist, the attribution of magical powers to plants by healers has long fascinated me. As a scientist, I recognize that whenever plants are designated as magical or powerful or capable of warding off evil spirits, that this is usually a sign of some interesting chemistry and pharmacology at play between the plant and various biological targets. During my fieldwork in Italy, I've personally encountered the use of rosemary in mystical applications as well. Back in 2001, I undertook a study in rural communities of the Basilicata province of southern Italy. This is one of the poorest regions of Italy. It's located inland from Naples, and historically, the economy was heavily based on peasant farming of crops like durum wheat, olives, and grapes, which still cover the countryside today. During this study, I focused my interviews on a group of healers that designated themselves as helpers, or quelli che aiutano. They were trained through apprenticeship in the treatment of malocchio, or the evil eye. In the Mediterranean, this is a culture-bound syndrome that is based on concepts of envy or jealousy. For example, if you compliment someone on a possession or a product that they own, it's super important to follow that with a statement of, "God has blessed you." In the absence of that caveat, the person receiving the compliment is compelled to give you the item in order to avoid the evil eye. You can imagine how this is perceived if you receive a compliment on something that cannot be given away, like a child or a home or something really costly and valuable to the family. In those scenarios, the person complimenting the other is effectively placing a curse on that family. I was conducting this study because I was really interested in the role of healers in treating these kinds of diseases, and I wanted to record the means in which they healed their patients. What I found was incredibly interesting. The healing process involved a series of Catholic prayers, but it also involved other non-religious but almost mystical prayers that referenced the envy disorder through parables. During the treatment, the healer also used their hands to gently rub the sign of the cross on the patient's forehead. Here are some examples of the ritual prayers that were used. Con gli occhi, con il cuore e con la mente, tre sono quelli che crescono, il Padre, il Figlio e lo Spirito Santo. Sopra la montagna c'era una vacca e un vitello, la vacca pascendo, il vitello crescendo. Tu cresci il tuo e io cresco il mio. This translates roughly to, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three have cursed me, with their eyes, with the heart, and with the mind. Three are those who grow, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. On top of a mountain there were a cow and a calf, the cow grazing, the calf growing. You grow yours, and I grow mine." And here's another one. L'occhio che ti ha feso, occhio, il padre la mente il viso. Scaccia l'occhio malocchio, caccia il malocchio della vita mia. Which translates to, "The eye that has offended you, the father, the mind he sees, remove the eye, evil eye, remove the evil eye from my life." Following this treatment process, it was not uncommon to have the patient begin yawning, and this was a good sign. Yawning is a sign that the evil eye was present and that the evil entities were at play. If this was followed by the healer yawning, that served as confirmation of the illness. In some cases, the evil was thought to enter the healer's body, and in this context, the healer serves as a medium between the magico-spiritual realm and the physical present. You may be wondering at this point, so what does this have to do with rosemary, right? Well, here it is. When the healer takes in this evil spirit, they must also then heal themselves, and they need to protect themselves in some way. And this is where rosemary comes into play. To protect themselves and to give more power to the healing ritual, they always wear a small herb sachet, about 1 inch long, wrapped in black thread, and hidden under their clothes. What is the herb inside the sachet? You got it, it's rosemary. Rosemary has a long tradition of use in folk medicine for a variety of ailments. Rosemary tea has been used for nervous headaches, the improvement of circulation, for skin care, and for treating colds. During the time of the Great Plague in Europe, rosemary was a key ingredient in the Four Thieves vinegar, also known as the Marseille vinegar. In this remedy, a medley of local herbs, including wild wormwood, meadowsweet, marjoram, whorehound, sage, campanula roots, and rosemary, were mixed with the more exotic ingredients of cloves and camphor and left to steep in vinegar for a couple of weeks before being used as a prophylactic or preventative agent that was rubbed on the body behind the ears, under the nose, and on the hands when approaching a plague victim. While this concoction is full of ingredients that have been reported for general antimicrobial effects, its efficacy in preventing the transmission of the plague pathogen, or Yersinia pestis, has never been established under the lens of a scientific investigation. One thing is certain, though. The remedy is rich in aromatic herbs, and it would have elicited a strong scent that could have helped to mask the overpowering odor of the dead plague victims that filled homes and streets during this period. Rosemary's use in medical practices has continued into more recent history as well. For example, during World War II, rosemary and juniper were burned as incense in hospitals to help to disinfect the air. This practice also extended further back in European history, where rosemary was burned in sick rooms to dispel the odors of bad air. Ethnopharmacological reports, which focus on the traditional medicinal use of plants in different cultures, include applications of rosemary to treat kidney stones in the Middle East, abdominal pains from heartburn and bloating in the Middle East, North Africa, and South America, and for the improvement of memory in the UK, Brazil, and North Africa. Today, in larger commercial markets, rosemary is commonly used as a fragrant additive in cosmetics and soaps, as well as in cosmeceuticals, or products that claim to have medicinal properties, especially pertaining to aging. Some examples include products for treating cellulite, wrinkles, and oily skin. Rosemary is found in hair dyes and rinses to darken and retain color, and in oils and shampoos to prevent premature balding. In traditional medicine, its main applications are for inflammation-related ailments. Rosemary essential oil is used in complementary or natural medicine to treat dyspepsia or heartburn, characterized by a sensation of discomfort, pain, aching, bloating, fullness, burning, or indigestion. Rosemary is also used to treat flatulence or intestinal gas and to promote appetite. Other common uses include the treatment of muscle and joint pain, headaches, gallbladder complaints, gout, cough, regulation of blood pressure, age-related memory loss, opiate withdrawal symptoms, and improvement of energy and mental tiredness. Despite more than 1,100 research articles published in the medical literature on rosemary and its medicinal effects to date, the science behind the mechanisms of action and even the efficacy of rosemary essential oil use in these applications is still emerging, and we still don't know all of the answers. But the good news is that we're learning more about this fascinating herb every day. The scientific name of rosemary is Rosmarinus officinalis, and it is a member of the Lamiaceae family and the order Lamiales. This is just one of five species found in the genus Rosmarinus. The original home of rosemary is in the arid environment of the Mediterranean, where it can still be found growing as large bushes in the wild. It thrives best in warm, sunny areas near the seashore, and it is abundant throughout the Mediterranean Isles. The Italian common name for this plant is Rosmarino, and the Marino portion of the name refers to its preferred seaside habitat. Rosemary is a woody perennial herb, and it is evergreen, meaning that its delightfully fragrant leaves can be harvested for food or medicinal use all year long. The flowers can come in many different shades, from a pale to deep blue or purple, or even pink or white. When the fresh leaves are crushed, they emit a delightfully minty odor. In the Mediterranean, rosemary typically flowers from May to June, and the fruiting period occurs in the summer. The primary pollinators of rosemary are honeybees because rosemary flowers are rich in highly concentrated nectar. Studies have shown that when compared to nine other plants of the Lamiaceae family, rosemary is one of the most preferred by honeybees. The mint or Lamiaceae family is a large group. It's rich in aromatic species, and many of them are used as culinary herbs or parts of folk medicine or even as fragrances. The amazing scent of rosemary is due to its essential oil content, released through glandular trichomes or modified epidermal cells found on the rosemary leaves. The most commonly used extraction technique for rosemary oil in the industrial setting is the steam distillation method, which is fast and suitable for large quantities of rosemary extraction. Rosemary essential oil makes up about 1 to 2.5% of the plant's total weight. Its chemical composition, like that of other plant essential oils, can vary depending on the geographic region where the plant was grown, the local climate, the part collected, and the extraction method used. Rosemary essential oil is incredibly rich in bioactive monoterpenes, including 1,8-cineol, borneol, pinene, limonene, camphene, camphor, and myrcene. These compounds and others are produced by the plant for the purposes of defense and to attract species that promote their fecundity via pollination and seed dispersal. They are also responsible for the pharmacological activities of rosemary essential oil. For example, scientific studies on the compound 1,8-cineol have been found to have anti-inflammatory, antidepressive, antioxidant, and smooth muscle relaxant activities. Likewise, alpha-pinene has shown anti-inflammatory, antifungal, antioxidant, and antibacterial effects. Camphor has also shown anti-mutagenic, antioxidant, anti-allergic, and anti-inflammatory activities. And these are just a few of the active compounds. Some of the non-volatile terpenes found in rosemary, like carnosic acid, carnosol, rosmanol, and rosmarinic acid, are also known to have anti-inflammatory activity in laboratory tests. And there are literally hundreds and hundreds of other bioactive compounds that are found in this one plant. The scientific evaluation of this chemically complex essential oil has shown antimicrobial activities against several types of bacteria, including the human pathogens known as Salmonella, Shigella, Pseudomonas, Staphylococcus, and even E. coli. These antimicrobial and antioxidant activities of rosemary essential oils contribute to its value as a food additive. In industrial food applications, rosemary essential oil has been shown to extend the shelf life of products that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. It can also be found as a preservative ingredient in prepackaged meat products like beef and pork patties because it helps to prevent the food spoilage due to its rich capacity as an antioxidant and again also because of those antimicrobial effects. All of this talk about food is making me hungry. My husband's Italian, and the love of food and family time together in the kitchen runs strong in our household. As parents of three growing kids, we stay busy in the kitchen keeping them fed. One of our household favorite recipes are classic Italian meatballs. Here's our favorite recipe. You take one part ground beef and one part ground lamb. Mix them together with some salt, some fresh ground pepper, maybe some breadcrumbs, and some fresh chopped rosemary and garlic before browning them in a pan with olive oil and finishing them off in a pot or the oven. We serve these either with a marinara sauce over pasta or over potatoes that have been roasted in the oven with a mix of olive oil, lemon juice, and big fresh sprigs of rosemary from our home garden. The scent of rosemary coming off of those potatoes and wafting off of the meatballs will make you drool. I think I know what I'm making for dinner tonight. Out of all of the pharmacological activities of rosemary essential oil, its anti-inflammatory capacity really stands out to me. There are many studies in the literature on this activity conducted both in vitro and in laboratory animals. Some major findings include inhibition of an inflammatory cascade known as the NF-kappa-B pathway, which is responsible for the harmful effects of inflammation. Other studies have shown that rosemary exhibits protective effects in the colon mucosa and offers some protective benefits in the gastrointestinal tract. A study on the anti-cancer potential of rosemary revealed that rosemary extract and carnosic acid, which is one of the bioactive compounds found in rosemary, upregulated the NRF2 pathway and decreased the viability of colon cancer cells, suggesting cancer preventive effects for gut health. This broad array of protective abilities of the essential oil may be due to a combined totality of protective effects arising from the various bioactive constituents found in the essential oil, including camphor and alpha pinene, among others. When it comes to safety, as with any other plant essential oil, it is important to recognize that the essential oil is a potent mixture of highly active compounds and should be diluted in a base solution such as massage oil or lotion for topical applications or as a potable liquid for internal use. Teas of the leaves can also be safely consumed, and this plant is considered grass or generally recognized as safe. Rosemary has had a long and storied past with a plethora of interesting uses ranging from food to medicine, cosmetics, and fragrance. Who knew this scrubby Mediterranean evergreen could have so many applications across the world? Next time on Foodie Pharmacology, we'll investigate an interesting herb that I used to paint my face orange. Yeah, you heard me right. This member of the ginger family has incredible uses, not only in the kitchen as a health food, but also in skin health. And it's a great antioxidant and anti-inflammatory to use in facial masks. In the kitchen, it can add a delightful yellow hue to your rice dishes, along with some additional health benefits. So join me next time as we discuss curcuma longa, or turmeric. I'm Dr. Cassandra Quave, and you've been listening to Foodie Pharmacology, the podcast for the food curious, recorded in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Emory University Center for Digital Scholarship. Get updates on our latest episodes by following or liking the Foodie Pharmacology Facebook page. You can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes. Spread the word. Tell your friends. If you've got a great idea for a future show, reach out to me. You can find me on Foodie Pharmacology with our Facebook page or on Twitter and Instagram at Quave Ethnobot, spelled Quaveethnobot. See you next time.